I'd like you to turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 15, verses 25 to 32. Now, we've all heard this story that Jesus told. We call it a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning in a very sort of elementary way of understanding parables. And we all heard about the prodigal son, the younger brother who went away and did his own thing. But there was another brother in that story, and we're going to zero in on him particularly today. So this is part of the story of the prodigal son, but it's the part that deals with the older brother, the older son. And that's found in Luke 15, 25 to 32. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied. "And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that this latter part of the parable of the prodigal son might truly have meaning to us today. That these words of Jesus may be words spoken to us in this generation. And that by your Holy Spirit alive in our hearts and minds, the truth of these words may become part of our lives. For we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. A woman was visiting some friends who lived on a farm. She hadn't seen them for a while. And as she looked about the barnyard, she saw this pig limping with a wooden leg. Well, now she asked the farmer, "Now, what happened to that pig?" Well, the farmer said, that pig's a wonderful pig. One night, the house caught fire, and she oinked so loud, she woke us up, and we got the fire trucks to come in time to save the house. The woman said, "Well, that's absolutely amazing." Well, the farmer continued, "But that's not all. One day my youngest daughter fell in the pond and that pig oinked so loud that she got our attention and we were able to pull her out of the pond before she drowned." And the woman said, "Well, that's an absolutely incredible pig. But I still don't understand why that pig has a wooden leg." And the farmer said, "Well, you know, when you have a pig that's that good and that special, you don't want to eat them all at the same time." Well, now, I don't think thanksgiving and gratitude ran very deep in those people's lives for that pig, that three-legged hero that they had on the farm. But it kind of brings up for us the question, how deep does our gratitude to God really run in our lives? Now, I think as we look at Luke 15, 25 to 32, which tells us about the other brother in the story of the prodigal son, that maybe we'll discover some of the answers to that question. So on such a great day for Thanksgiving in the life of this farm family, surprisingly every chair was filled except one. It was the chair that was right next to the robe-covered younger brother. And it belonged to the elder brother, the oldest son. Oldest sons are sort of always kind of special in families. And this guy was good. He was a good boy. He minded his own business. He lived by the rules. And he worked hard for his father on this farm. And here he was coming home after a very tiring day on the farm. And he heard all the commotion and he wondered what was going on. And he was totally unaware, of course, that all the fuss and commotion was because his younger brother, his baby brother, had come home. Now, you would have thought that the news of this would have been followed with a heartfelt reunion of the two brothers. As far as he knew, he probably felt like he would never ever lay eyes on his brother again. He was as good as dead. And come to think of it, the fact that his younger sibling even had the nerve to come back home brought up some very deeply held negative feelings in the older son. The prodigal basically had said to his own father, "You're as good as dead," when he asked for his inheritance and took off. And when he had run off with reckless irresponsibility, it was his big brother who bore the brunt of everything. One less worker on the farm. How could his father even think of throwing a party for this immoral, irresponsible son who had treated him so badly? And it was more than he could stand. The hearty appetite that he had worked up in himself because of working so hard on the farm seemed to fade with the news of this celebration over his brother's return. It was repulsive to him. And he was going to have no part in this quickly organized Thanksgiving dinner. He refused to even step inside the house. No forgiving or forgetting was going to take place here. Then something very dramatic happens. His father catches sight of his other son and he runs after him. He pleads with him to come and to join this party. But it must have been too much for him to bear. Because this dam of emotions suddenly burst inside of him, pent up for so long. And out comes his bitter resentment against his father for not giving him the same treatment. Out comes his frustration that once again he's going to have to share his farm with this loser of a brother. And the last thing that he wants to do is to have a party. So, no Thanksgiving dinner for him. Now, I think to me, and maybe to you too, the underlying question that comes out of all of this is, how can a blessed person be so extremely ungrateful? I think that's the question we have to ask ourselves on this Thanksgiving Sunday, this Thanksgiving weekend. If anyone should have been absolutely contented and happy, should it have been the older brother? And the father tried to explain this to him, something that he should have already known. Everything that the father has is already his. So what went wrong here? What turned the other brother into an ungrateful person? Well, perhaps because of him, we can discover some things about the person who often becomes ungrateful in the midst of plenty. First of all, I would like to suggest to you that the older brother was performance-driven. In verse 29, he says, "But he answered his father, 'Look, at all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And yet you don't give me a young goat, even a young goat, so I can celebrate with my friends.'" Now, I think that those words undercover a lot of the reason this brother lacked any joy or thanksgiving in his life. You see, he was someone who kept track of what he had done. And he believed that good works alone would earn his father's favor. He was a moralist who keeps a list of the sins of others without recognizing his own. And last of all, he has this deep sense of entitlement and simply believes that he deserves all his father's riches. I want to suggest to you that this kind of performance-driven individual has a very hard time being truly thankful. And certainly because of this, even this alone, would be unlikely to be someone who wants to come to your Thanksgiving dinner. Secondly, I want to suggest to you that he was possessions blind. In verse 31 it says, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." The older brother has everything, but still he needed something more. Plenty of people, you see, miss their own share of happiness, not because they haven't found it, but they simply haven't stopped to enjoy it. The younger brother had learned true riches out of his poor decisions, which had brought him into poverty. If you go back to verses 17 and 18, it says, "When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. Now, that didn't compute with him, did it? He says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So the question for us is, what is the standard by which we determine our blessings? One morning after a terrible snowstorm in Red Deer, Alberta, sorry, I just couldn't stop myself. Anyway, Susan was outside shoveling her driveway. She stopped to wave hello to her neighbor, and he asked her why her husband wasn't out there helping her with it. Well, she explained that one of them had to stay inside to take care of all their four children. So she said they drew straws to see who would go out and shovel the snow. Oh, sorry about your bad luck, he said. Susan replied, oh, don't be sorry, I won. So what's the standard by which we actually measure our own thanksgiving? The Apostle Paul said these words, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself. That is the secret of having a thankful heart. And it's not dependent on how many toys you have in your toy box. The third thing I think we discover from the older son is this. He was relationally distant. Verse 30. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. Notice in these, Jesus always chose his words carefully, I know, because they were God-inspired, and he wanted us to see things in what he was saying, to understand. So you see, in this part of this parable, he has the older brother describing his younger brother as this son of yours. Not this brother of mine, but this son of yours. Now, it's a rather human reaction when we get mad at somebody. I've done it many times. When I am angry with one of my children and I can't handle the situation anymore, suddenly my son becomes my wife's son. And I say to her, do you know what that son of yours did? Otherwise, what I'm saying to her is, you deal with it. I'm out of here. And I put relational and sometimes physical distance between my children and myself. Now, was the elder son's response motivated out of resentment or arrogance? Verse 31, the father had to remind him, son, you are always with me. He had taken this for granted. He lived on the father's farm, but he failed to learn the father's heart. So it's no wonder that he couldn't understand his father's nature and his response to his younger son coming home. And he couldn't share in the father's joy at this. And you know, it's very hard for us to have a thankful heart when we feel this way. No wonder he wouldn't come to the Thanksgiving dinner. The father ends this discussion with these words, verse 32. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Now, what should this mean to the older brother and to us? Well, if we are unable to share in the joy of the Father's heart, there's something that's very wrong with our relationship to God Himself. There was a king who was said to have suffered a terribly painful sickness. His advisor told him that his only cure was to locate a contented man and ask him for his shirt to wear night and day. Immediately, messengers were sent out into all the kingdom to look for such a man and to bring back his shirt for the king. Months passed when finally all the messengers returned empty-handed. And the king was simply beside himself. He said, "Do you mean to tell me there's not a single man in all of my kingdom who is content?" And the messengers replied, "We found only one such man in all of your kingdom." "Then why did you not bring his shirt to me?" "Well, master," he replied, "he had no shirt." Now, it's interesting who it is who was attracted to Jesus and his ministry amongst them and us. Luke 15, 1 and 2 says at the beginning of this chapter, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" You see, it's clear that it was prodigal-like people who came to Jesus. All the tax collectors, all the sinners, the prostitutes, the down-and-outers. And they flocked to Jesus. Well, why did this happen? Because they recognized their own sin and their own need, and were truly thankful for the forgiveness and acceptance that they found in Jesus. You see, it's elder brother type people, the Pharisees, who find this sight offensive. Because in their arrogance, they are blinded by their own importance and all that they have achieved. They are consumed by a want for more, never really stopping to realize that they have much already for which they should be thankful. And they have no room for love because they are keeping a record of the wrongs of others. So, kind of an unusual passage to speak on for Thanksgiving Sunday, isn't it? But on this Thanksgiving weekend, don't let ingratitude rob you from the chance to be a part of the party and to celebrate the goodness of the Father God, who in forgiveness and love stands where he has always stood, at the end of the road, waiting to welcome all of us back home. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, what an incredible story that speaks to so much in our lives. Whoever we identify with here, the prodigal son or the older brother, this story speaks God's word to us. Lord, you want us to know certain things about who you are, your character, your love, your goodness, your offer of salvation. And you want us to know something about ourselves as we look at ourselves, as we look at our sinfulness. And we ask you to forgive us. So help us to have truly grateful hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen.